Good afternoon again, everybody. Next up, we have Stephen Schmidt, who's Director of Government ICTS from SAGov, talking about open source sand pit projects. Steve.
Fantastic, thanks. Can you hear me? I assume so. Yes, fantastic. So it's great to be here. I'm the Director of Government ICTS in South Australian Government. We've got a central ICT capability with a central voice network, central data network, single messaging solution for all of government, those kinds of things. However, I'm not really here in my current capacity. I'm here to talk about what I've been doing over the last 2.5 years, and that a few of you in the room have been as well. It's called the Open Technology Foundation, and 2.5 years ago, in listening to what's been happening today, 2.5 years ago, I had had enough of too many questions and no answers. You know, questions like, how do you deal with the commercial lobbyists from the big multinationals, one of which claims that the economic multiplier of buying $1 worth of their product has a 13 times effect in the marketplace. So my issue was, well, what is it for open source? You know, where's that information? Where's that analytics that we need so that on an economic scale we can say, well, to our procurement officers, we can say, well, here's what Mr. Windows says and here's what we do for open technologies. And so therefore I needed to try and do something to create a fair and equal marketplace, and had fantastic support from my CIO, which is Andrew Mills in South Australian Government, and Pierre, and probably 100 people have been involved in this now. So it has got it's got to a pretty good level of maturity, and it's due for commercialisation this year. Pierre said we need to access people with alternative views, and that's why I think we need to have an international repository of who's doing what in which public sector, so that we can all share it. At the moment, it's a bit too hard for an ICT stakeholder in a public sector to bite the bullet and just say, right, I'm going to go with this content management system and I know it's going to work, but he just hasn't got that weight of support behind him. So that's why I think we need a repository, and that's what people are telling me. Something which was interesting for me, which mightn't interest you, but definitely interested me, when we went to the market to look for a whole of government messaging solution, enterprise messaging solution, around about 3 or 4 years ago, I was given the task to appraise different options in the marketplace, and the ICT advising firm that we had at the time was one of the world leaders, and they said that the only solution in the market that would do it is Exchange. That's it. It's the only thing that's strong enough. That's it. And basically using that, we then had to go basically down the Exchange route. However, at the same time in the US, the US Department of Defense was dabbling with this thing called Zimbra, and then they rolled it out across the board. And then when I went back to Gartner and said, listen, you told me that there was nothing there. There was nothing that could possibly do it. Only Exchange. And 6 months later, there's this amazing open source Zimbra solution which is being rolled out across all of Department of Defense in the US. What the hell is going on? So where's that impartiality? Where's that neutrality? Where's that? So since then, I haven't actually gone back there for any kind of real important analysis. So, I don't know if people are happy or sad about that, but that's just my experience. So, since 2008, I've been travelling around a lot of the Australian governments, not lobbying, but talking with ICT stakeholders, more CIO types, about how we can do this together, how we can share resources and share technologies and share learnings, and do it once so that all Australian and New Zealand jurisdictions benefit from it. And after a number of workshops and we finally got agreement on the OTF, Open Technology Foundation Business Plan, which there's copies here, and we've got ministerial support in most of the major Australian governments. not yet in New Zealand, however, but hopefully that's not far away. And that basically talks about a model, a commercial entity, to be able to share information about open technologies in use around in Australia and New Zealand, sharing those learnings in the appropriate format so it's consumable and shareable by public servants, being able to share code necessarily, and basically creating a network so that we only do it once and everything is value add. And basically it's a peak body for international, to liaise with our international counterparts. So I'm not going to go through this. It's basically the issues that we had were we didn't have the information. An ICT stakeholder sitting there in a department in one public sector does not have all of that information at their ready, so that when it comes time to a technology refresh, what are the options? Well, Microsoft, IBM, they don't have the opportunity to assess open technologies in a fair and neutral way. So that's a number one issue. It's so resource intensive for a jurisdiction to do it themselves. Obviously, I'm hearing some great things about what New Zealand are doing. I would like to think that New Zealand would share that so that Australian governments don't have to reinvent the wheel. And where we're doing things, we can share it as well, kind of all work together. That's kind of a big sharing sandpit. I don't think it's a pipe dream because I think we're getting enough support for it now. And complete and accurate marketplace intelligence, that's really important. That strikes that. What is the multiplier for open technologies? I think it's greater than 13-fold. If Microsoft can say it's 13-fold for their product, for one of their dollars spent, I think it's got to be higher. But we need the economic analysis to be done first before we can actually legitimise that. And it's very difficult to analyse. So the four work streams being proposed by the Open Technology Foundation are sharing information, which I'm going to talk, well, hopefully we can all talk about in a minute, basically being a peak body, an authoritative registry, and it's got international flair so that anybody can share their learnings, they can tell us what they're using, how they're using it, what vendors they're using, how they support it, what issues they had, was it good, was the whole gamut of information, and where appropriate, contact information. Of course, that's why it's got to be siloed to the public sector initially, and then also sharing resources and solutions, targeted research, and a consultation arm. So it's a three-tier network between academia, one or two academic institutions in each state, between government and with the ICT industry as well. So we believe it's a pretty robust governance structure, which is very open, gives equal weight behind all of the three different tiers of what makes up government ICT. Just stop me if you need me to explain anything about that. So here's what we want to talk about. International, not that you can see it, International Public Sector Learnings Repository. For all ICT stakeholders in the public sector to have a knowledge base of what is happening around the globe with regards to open technologies. What are the CMS systems in use and where are they in use? In my instance, going back 3 years, I could have gone to this repository and said, enterprise messaging, and I would have seen US Department of Defense Zimbra. I would have put that up as a legitimate argument to going with the ultimate path we went down. So, and how we support it, all of those things. So I think that's really important, especially for ICT stakeholders in the public sector, not necessarily procurement officers. Our procurement office says you can do anything you like. It's completely open. There's no rules that says you can't have open source. There's no rules that says you have to go down a commercial path. However, they load us up with all these indemnity clauses and just they need to be completely broken down. And the only way I can break them down in South Australian government is to base it on economic analysis. And that's what a lot of the academic institutions involved with the OTF will be doing. So the question really to all of us here, I really need your support here. Do you think this is too ambitious? I personally believe it's not. A year or so ago, maybe it was. But at the moment, I don't think it's too ambitious for us to think that we can create an open source authoritative repository for members of the international public service. The big issue, I suppose, just these are some of the things that I thought of in moving forward in a discussion, in an open discussion about this, is if we did that, a lot of the ICT stakeholders in the public sector, I believe, are fairly precious. They think that they've got some sort of big stick that makes them. They don't. I don't. It's like, but what we don't have is, and I'm a major culprit as well, I do not have the information available to me to empower me with the knowledge so I can stand one up against the other. I just don't have it, and that is major frustration of mine. So in a non-threatening way, we can put something up there so all these precious ICT stakeholders can go, oh shit, you know, I didn't know about that, and then they can actually do something about it. We need to deal with the whole issue about academic purity versus a pragmatic solution to this. This is all about a pragmatic solution. It's a website, it's something which actually has information. How do we authenticate public servants is a key issue. I think we can break through it. Do we need one? Probably think we do. Otherwise, each of the different jurisdictions are going to have to engage their Crown Solicitor's Office in some capacity to find out if they're allowed to play. Put up comments. Am I allowed to say this system is fantastic, this system is not, and have that available to the global? And you know, who am I representing? Am I representing South Australian government? Well, that's one issue we have to break through. But I think if we do that, the value is enormous. Then we can actually say public sectors around Australia and New Zealand can say we are implementing a reuse and share model before build, before buy. So I don't know how we stand this up. I've been giving it some thought. I've chatted with Pia about it a little bit. I've floated it with a few of my colleagues around Australia, and we think probably we need to form a working group with representatives from the international community. So I just wanted to basically, I'm not sure if there's someone walking around with a mic, but I'd really like to get your thoughts on whether you think this is a good idea, whether we should be proceeding with it, what are some of the barriers that I might be encountering, how we should do it, just basically any comment at all, and hopefully go from there.
Hi, I'm sort of at the juniorist level of public service, and there is, well, not anymore, but we'll carry on. There is something that exists for that in terms of the public sector wiki that is run by the State Services Commission here in New Zealand. Now, the biggest barrier to entry for a department, or is that internal, am I allowed to release this to the world kind of feeling? Because there's a lot of internal politics in terms of managers don't want their staff making everyone look like idiots within that department. I guess it would be the stakes get raised even higher when you're talking international.
Sure. Yeah, well, I suppose that is the... Is that surmountable? Do you think we can break through that? Or do you think that's a showstopper?
I think that yes, but I'd like to see it sort of more in action, basically.
Yeah.
I think you need to go under the presumption that some people are going to see it as a really, really amazing tool, and others won't, and they'll probably be dragged along kicking if it does get off the ground. And internal politics within each agency are going to be different, and some people and some managers are going to be really enthusiastic and others just won't.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. I dabbled with the idea, just wanted to float it, whether or not, instead of actually allowing comments to be put there, where we basically just had a rating scale, all general type of questions, had a rating scale, and then if someone actually wanted to actually explore a rating, they could just get in contact one-on-one so that information wasn't actually up in the cloud. well for public service cloud. But anyway, thanks.
I think that a possibility that you might want to consider is actually trying to convince politicians that it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a really good way of going. That was one of the points that was being made in some of the former sessions, was that if you want, that has the possibility of being bigger than Ben Hur. For something like that, you probably want to have some political might behind you.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would be particularly difficult to convince many politicians that it's a good idea. But there's going to be other things like, I know I work for a Crown Research Institute here in New Zealand, and although we get contracted to do particular jobs for government departments, there is this sense of, we've developed the software and we own it, and they don't, and there's the whole IP bollocks. The fact that the taxpayer paid for the development of the software sort of goes by the wayside when you have government departments trying to keep their budgets down so they think that they can flog the software.
Yeah.
Most of the time that isn't true, but that is certainly something to remember. You have to convince those who control the software that no, they can't make any money from keeping it secret.
Yeah.
And most of the time that is the case. They can't make any money anyway, so they may as well GPL it.
Sure. Thanks for that. Yeah, we've got Senator Kate Lundy's obviously is a great supporter, and our minister and a number of ministers in Australian jurisdictions have sent official letters of support. This is one of the work streams, one of the four, and that's got the work stream talks about how it's going to be an international, a player on for, as an authoritative registry on the international scale. So they've already signed up to it. However, I'm kind of looking at the practical, the next level. It's like, okay, you've signed up to it. I don't quite know how we do what you're saying, and that is to actually get the pragmatic solution in place where everybody's happy. Thanks.
This is a very open question, but people use open source software across a large scale or a range of projects, from running in a turbo web server to, say, running an entire enterprise. How would you expect such a repository to actually address those sort of issues of scale about the kind of projects that would be undertaken?
Sure. So it's not a repository of open source solutions. That's not what it is. It is a repository of open technologies. We talked about it before. Pia talked about the concept and the issue around openness versus closeness and the convergence of openness and closeness. This is about open technologies, about interoperable solutions, having an ICT marketplace which is fair. And to do that, this is a repository of open technology solutions. Yeah, so not just learnings. What I did with the CMS, how I used it, even, for example, one jurisdiction may say, as part of their contract with enterprise messaging, they enforced, as a clause of the contract, the exit strategy had to be totally interoperable. Now, they've done that work. They've done enormous amount of work doing that. So if they could share that so that when other jurisdictions strike that procurement, then they have exactly the same learnings in place, and that's fantastic benefit for everybody. So, but thanks.
I think we've heard from quite a few developers at the conferences, when they started out, they wished they'd worked to a template or a standard or an open agreement on how you format all these analysis documents.
Yep.
That would seem to fit with your requirements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you got something in mind?
Yeah, we have. So what we've got as part of the Open Technology Business Plan is a number of resources. One is we haven't got the template, but what we're saying is that there will be a template. So that everything that comes in from different project teams, the example we use is a city council in Queensland wants to roll Ubuntu out on the desktop and they need some support. Their ICT manager isn't really that experienced with Ubuntu or open source. So the Open Technology Foundation, through its network, would go in, help them, with the learnings, basically provide some consulting expertise and be the conduit, potentially, through the ICT community. That information, as that project runs, that information will be collated into a format that's consumable the way we want it to be by everybody, and then that goes up onto the OTF website so that when the next city council comes along, it's all the hard lifting's already been done. So, however, that's a very good point, and that's the open standards are absolutely critical so that those learnings are, you know, shareable. Yeah.
Just to answer the question, yes, I think it's a very good idea. The challenge, I think, is for anything like this to be sustainable. And we've seen, I know in the UK, there's been two attempts to try and create this, which have withered on the vine. The probably the most resilient is the EU's place where they keep information on successful projects and what's worked and what's not. And there's a lot of current momentum building in the US as well about open source for America, given the change in administration. So I would have thought the smart thing about how to do it would be to join with one of those initiatives rather than starting something from scratch down here, because the sustainability is only going to come from a large enough community being built, and all the evidence that we've seen from these others is that it starts and then it peters out, because any community is only as good as the participation.
Yeah.
So have you done any research on, if you're going to do that, just getting on the coattails of one of these initiatives that's already underway?
Yep, that's a very good question. So, mainly with help from Pierre and a number of the different reps in the in New Zealand, Matt Ross. The model that we wanted to use was that we would work, and I've spoken with the guys from the Malaysian Open Source Initiative, I can't remember the name of it now, the one from the EU, and a number of them in the US, all extremely keen to work together to create a model for sharing. So we don't actually replicate anything, but all of our four repositories all work together, and it's all there. So that's the model we want to work with. And because of that one question is that I don't want to send anybody through a journey which is going to end in disaster. So that's why it's taken 2.5 years to get to the stage where it has now. But however, like I said, if I had have had that information at hand back when I was being asked to provide advice on pretty massive things like enterprise messaging across the South Australian government, I would have probably made a different decision. So if I'm making that decision, then I just assume I replicate that across all the departments in SA Gov and Australia, and I think, well, we're all making the same kind of decision. So not enough knowledge, not enough information. But thank you for that, Mark.
I think it's a great idea. I think that sharing of information is exactly what the internet and its diverse communities has always been about. I would suspect that conversations and meetings, organisations like Govis have been an opportunity for IT professionals in government to exchange information about what they do and how they did it and what the outcome was and reputations and various things. What you're facing, though, is now you're going to put that in hard copy. That's probably going to make it some kind of freedom of information target. And you're also going to have to deal with, to what extent do you trust the people who are telling you this any more than you trust Gartner? You might say, well, they're customers like me. They have no incentive to deceive me. But the thing is, you don't know whether their problems are because of them or because of the product. You don't know whether their success is the result of the product or their culture and approach. So I can see it having some value, but as you've observed, there are some risks around that as well. And the risk I see is, one, you are putting up commentary on corporate, you know, commercial organisations, and then there's the trust issue between your peers.
No, that's a great comment, but I just wanted to look at it the other way. Can't you say that about general ICT stakeholder consulting with Microsoft or IBM? Like, if I go to an IBM rep and say, what can you do for your social networking kind of, they'll come out with this magnificent, perfect spiel, loaded on the system, and just then all hell breaks loose when it comes into forest trusts and all sorts of. So I think that's going to happen no matter who you're talking to. But I would hope the weight of numbers, if I type something in or I want some information on something, I can see that, okay, Fred Nurk over there in Brazil thinks it's a heap of, codswallop, but six other people think it's fantastic. Well, I've got an opportunity to talk to all of them.
Maybe if we can just say another word or two on that issue. I think it's a really legitimate one. I live in a very small community, and it's very difficult to be open and honest with one's opinion, because almost invariably you're going to offend somebody somewhere. So what, in our experience, what we've found is that anonymity doesn't save you from, especially from the second risk that we just brought up, but pseudonymity is actually a really, really useful tool in this particular case. You don't necessarily need to know who's talking, but you need to, in the sense of what the source of this information is, but you do need to know the voice that's speaking. You do need to be able to recognize the voice and to see, and pretty soon, the sort of the corporate shill kind of speak, the marketing speak, if you want to, put it a little more blandly, it begins to show itself, because that's just the nature of it. And truly unique and insightful voices also tend to distinguish themselves from the crowd in the same way. We don't need to care who they are, where they are, or which government they're working for. We do, however, need to care about the quality of the information that they're feeding us. And I think pseudonymity, as one of the elements of this kind of application, would be extremely useful in that regard.
So just quickly, while I've got you there, from a practical sense, however, if we're going to implement some sort of online capability, how would we implement pseudo? Are you talking about basically just having a blog name how would you implement pseudo?
More or less, just allow people to choose their own login name. Some people will identify themselves publicly. Some people will choose not to, because they might want to be critical. And I think just a little bit of opacity between the knowing who is actually using the system, verifying that they're who they say they are, and who they present themselves as on the public face of the application. It's a simple thing to implement technically,
that's great.
And it works well.
Thanks for that.
Hello, this is Pia. I just want to say two things. Just on that exact point, I think part of what you're looking at ends up being providing the ability for peer review. So when people put forward a case study or a knowledge, resource or whatever, people will then be able to comment on it, rate it, all those kinds of things. So I think that kind of peer review will help weed out useful versus possibly misleading information that may be put into the system. And the other thing I just wanted to say, and it's kind of dumb, but I just wanted to say a huge thank you publicly in this arena to Stephen for doing all this work, because this is an enormous project, and I think that it's exactly perfectly timed at the moment with all of the other things that are happening in certainly in Australia and other places around the world. But I think it'll be an enormous thing to help drive forward adoption of open technologies and open processes and methodologies in government. So thank you.
Thank you, Pia. Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, peer reviews. So really, before I go, I hate to leave it when I'm really thinking, okay, didn't really help me. It's your comment has been fantastic, but how could I stand this up? What's the next step? And I'm more than happy to do it. I'm happy to just lobby out here to see who's in the ICT community out there and say, who would want to host it? Peter, who's prepared to host it? What sort of, do I need to create a working group? Do I need to go back to the people I think who've given me an affirmative response and say, do you guys want to be on an international open technology repository working group? Or has anybody got any comment about, you know, how they think I may be able to stand this up?
So it's Don Christie again from the NZOSS, and echoing Pierre's stuff, thoughts there, congratulations on just the sheer amount of effort that you've put into it. I don't know if the audience here can really pick up on it and appreciate that. I went to the workshop organised by Brian and Stephen in Adelaide a few weeks ago, and I've been kind of aware of this bubbling away for a wee while, and I must say I've started off mid last year being a little bit suspicious and so on, and I'm wholeheartedly supportive. There's projects going on in New Zealand, I think, looking at what's happening in open source in the public sector. There's New Zealand agencies beginning to collaborate on that sort of thing. And I do see much more willingness to engage with, and specifically even the OTF from New Zealand agencies. And I would really hope that agencies like State Services and Department of Internal Affairs, in particular those two agencies, and possibly MED, come together and participate in a very positive way. I hope that you'll find that engagement here.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. And hopefully towards mid to late year, you'll... The very last step is, of course, the hardest one, which is funding. But however, we have just had an absolute weight of numbers of support, official support from the academia, the ICT community, and pretty much most of the jurisdictions in Australia. So hopefully towards mid this year, you'll see something regarding setting it up.
Yeah. Hi, John Phillips from status.net. So I would encourage whatever next steps happen to not also feel like you have to recreate new repositories. I think that's something we've learned well in free software and open source, is it's good to try to use what's already existing. And for the most part, some of these technologies are already ready, like, to apply, such as a bug tracker or a request tracker. There might be some need for tailoring the software for use, but some things like I think could already be used. The other thing I think would be interesting is not just doing working groups, but maybe even doing like a scenario of like starting a new country and like what it would take to have an ideal solution that way. And there's some instances of this with new countries or micronations that might be useful in doing demos and or something real. I'm kind of against demos. So that's just a thought.
Yeah, no, what's your name again? So I can...
John Phillips from StatusNet, Identica.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks. Well, guess who's going to be hosting it? That's great. Sorry. WikiLinks? Okay. We got computers over there.
Just as an idea, have you thought, I suppose before I do that, I just want to confirm, you want to provide a repository for the histories of how people set things up so that they can be used as a repository of information rather than for software, is that what you're saying?
That's right. It's about specific issues and the nuances of implementing open technologies in the public sector.
Yeah.
How they got through the procurement worries, all of that stuff.
Well, possibly, just as an idea, possibly providing some of the tools to do that might be a good place to start, so that if you're trying to encourage a department to use this database, then provide the tools, like as Phil Becky was saying, set up an issue tracker or a bug tracker or a project management thing which people can make use of, and then it sort of inherently then becomes a repository for the issues that they had.
That's great. No, I appreciate that. And the OTF, one of the streams that it has is around sharing resources and solutions, and that's exactly the mold. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a fantastic idea, Pierre. And who should I speak to about that? Fantastic, that's great. So I suppose I'll give you a bit of a break if you like. Is there any other comments? Oh, fantastic. I really appreciate your comments, and especially the time to be able to talk about it. So that's great. Thank you.